Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel and another edition of our Friday study series, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, based on the book by the same title by my friend Bob Christopher, with whom I am in the studio right now. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today as we continue in that study. Hope you have your copy of the study guide. If you don't, well, you can go and visit our website, basicgospel.net, and right there you'll find a link on the homepage, and you can order your copy of the study guide and the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. But right now, it's time to get underway with today's study, and here to do that is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, as far as Christianity is concerned, we always describe it as a relationship. You know, there are many people that try to just put it in the category of a religion alongside of Buddhism and Hinduism and all the isms that are out there.
Yeah.
But Christianity is different, and Christians are very quick to point out that difference. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And that's what this chapter is all about. Chapter 15 out of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, it's entitled Eternal Life. Well, eternal life is all about a relationship with God the Father. That's how Jesus defined it in his high priestly prayer, John 17:3. It's one of my favorite verses. I would probably be quick to say that it is my favorite verse in the entire Word of God. And I think every road in the Bible leads us to this particular passage. Why? Because it really is the defining passage as far as eternal life is concerned. It's the defining passage as far as the uniqueness of Christianity is concerned compared to all the religions that are out there. So let's dive in. And I want to tell a little story about my dad. When I was in first grade, my first grade teacher, I think first, second day of school, went around the room and asked all the kids to tell a little bit about their dads. Well, my dad at that particular time was working. I think he had two full-time jobs, and then he was going to school. And when I saw him in the afternoons, he was asleep, taking a little nap. And so when the teacher came to me, Mrs. Paste, she asked, "Well, Bob, it's your turn. Tell us a little bit about your dad." Well, he sleeps all the time. That's what I knew about my dad when I was a first grader. That was what my relationship with him was all about. And Mrs. Paste was a little concerned about my answer, so she picked up the phone after school and called my mom, and just that whole answer that I gave infuriated my mom, because she knew exactly what my dad was doing and how much time he was investing in jobs and school and just how tired he was and all the sacrifice that he was making for the family. But that's what I knew about my dad at that particular time. As I grew older, I got to know a lot about my dad and things that he liked, things that he disliked. I found out really quickly that the Kentucky Wildcats were the basketball team was one of his favorite things, and he would hover around a radio there in Marietta, Georgia, and listen to every Kentucky Wildcat basketball game, and I soon joined him in listening. So I grew up being a Kentucky Wildcat basketball fan. I found out he didn't like peanut butter or sweet tea or any things like that, or the song The 12 Days of Christmas. But I found out a lot of positive things about him: his integrity, his honesty, his trustworthiness, his love for my mom. All of these things were a part of his character. And as I grew to know him, some of those characteristics came to me.
Sure.
And I started to see those start to show up in my life. Not like in my dad, but I start to see little hints of those particular characteristics. Mm-hmm. And then as I grew older into adulthood, you know, folks would look at me and, you know, from a look standpoint, they'd say, "You're like your dad." And then from a person, they would say, "You're like your dad." And I could think of no better compliment than that, because if I was like my dad, it's because I grew to know my dad.
Sure.
And that relationship helped to grow me and to build me into the person that I am today. And then, of course, God has had a lot to do with that, but
just a
little bit. But it just kind of became the story of John 17:3. This is what happens with us as we grow in our relationship with God the Father, as we get to know Jesus Christ and grow in His grace. Then the things of God start to take root inside of us. Mm-hmm. So the qualities that God has, the characteristics that God has, those become ours. And that's the beauty of this relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. So with that as kind of a background, let's dive in. So the first question of chapter 15, this is on page 109, how did Jesus define eternal life according to John 17:3? And here's what John 17:3 says. Now, this is eternal life. So that should be a neon flashing light as far as your Bible reading is concerned. When you see a phrase like this, now this is eternal life, mark it, because this is important. And so Jesus said that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So how did Jesus define eternal life in this particular passage? He defined it as knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. That's what eternal life is. That's why when we are born again, when we first come to faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life starts right then.
Right there.
Our knowledge of Jesus begins at that very moment. And we know through the gospel message that God is love, that God is forgiving, that God is merciful. We learn that at the very get-go as far as our relationship with God is concerned. And then we just build on top of that. We keep learning and growing in our knowledge of the Lord. Now, in John 4:17, this is what John says about us. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And then he has this statement, in this world, we are like Jesus. So the question is, what stunning compliment is given to those who are called children of God in this particular passage? Well, it's this, that in this world, we are like Jesus. Now, what makes us like Jesus? Well, the fact that Jesus lives in us, that we're in relationship with Jesus, and we're growing in our knowledge of Jesus. And so the very life of Jesus begins to manifest itself in and through us. So how does knowing God shape you and conform you to the image of Christ, according to that particular passage? Well, it's just this relationship that really matters. Oftentimes we are so excited when we learn that our sins are forgiven, when we learn that we are righteous, that we have been made righteous in Jesus Christ, when we realize that the blood of Jesus made us holy and blameless in God's sight. All of those things just are stunning revelations in and of themselves. But the reason God did all of that through Jesus is so that we could know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, so that we can have that relationship. And it's in that relationship that we become transformed as human beings, that we begin to be conformed to the very image of Christ Jesus. So that's how God has rigged it. That's how God has put this thing together. He created Adam and Eve. He enjoyed fellowship with them. They enjoyed a relationship with him. They met with him day in and day out. And that was what humanity was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be a connection with God the Father. And that as we grew in our understanding of who God was, then we would reflect more and more of him out into the world in which we live, and that all of creation would experience the goodness of God through us.
Yeah.
Sin disrupted that, But now through this new creation, now the fact that we have been made alive in Jesus and Jesus has come to live inside of us, then we as children of God can reflect that glory out into the world today. And not as a material thing that reflects light off of it, but it's something that we experience. We truly know God. We know that He's loved. We experience that love on a day-to-day basis, and so we get to reflect that out into the world in which we live. Now, this is all a part of this new covenant that we live in. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews takes the prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah, and he brings it into his letter and says, this is what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is all about, is about ushering us into this new covenant. Well, here's one of the promises of the new covenant. It's the third promise that we read. And it says this, Hebrews 8:11, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So what can we boast about as new covenant believers according to this passage? That we know God.
Yes.
That's what distinguishes us from the rest of the world. What's the problem out there in the world? It's the fact that they do not know God. Now, we have that opportunity to pass on the knowledge of God to those who are lost and dead in sin.
Right.
But we know God. We know what He's really like. Not just this distorted view that we come up with when we try to figure Him out through the eyes of sin and death, but a true, genuine knowledge that is given to us by the very grace of God.
With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and friends, this is the weekly teaching edition of Basic Gospel centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And if you've missed any of these Friday sessions along the way, you can catch up or fill in the blanks by visiting our program archive, and you'll find that when you visit basicgospel.net/teaching, just the regular website followed by a slash and the word teaching. We would encourage you to go there and share that with your family and friends. And we would love to get these messages out far and wide. You know, this, of course, remains Resurrection Month, and it's a great time to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us through His death, burial, and resurrection by making a generous gift to keep His message going forward here on Basic Gospel. And as you make your gift this month, request your copy of the CD called Proof, the Resurrection. And that's what the CD is all about. It's our way of saying thank you back and for your partnership with Basic Gospel this month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. Back to Bob Christopher now and our study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
So again, Christianity is all about being in relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That's what distinguishes it from every other religion that's out there. As a matter of fact, we Christians are quick to say that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship.
Yes.
Well, let's dive into that relationship even more. Now, why did Jesus come to earth? And that's an important question because it really is going to underscore what we're talking about here. Now, there are quite a number of passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament that tell us why Jesus came into this world. We know He came into this world to take away our sins, to offer Himself as that once-for-all sacrifice. But I love what John says and how John answers that question in John 1:18. And here's what that passage says. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, He has made Him known. So why did Jesus come into this world? To make the Father known to you and to me.
Right.
Now, that's important because we wouldn't know what God is like if Jesus hadn't come to do that. We would still be trying to figure it out. Now, since no one has ever seen God, someone's going to have to tell us what God is like if we're really going to know what God is like. So what does Jesus do for us concerning God the Father? He makes Him known to you and to me. So before I really got connected to the gospel and understood what the gospel was all about. I thought God was this mean ogre, this very strict judge, very judgmental, exacting. That's what I thought about God the Father. And then when I met Jesus and understood the gospel, my idea of God completely changed. Why? Because I had been introduced to the real God, sure, to the genuine article, so to speak. I found out that God is love, that God is forgiving, that God is merciful, that God actually wants the best for me, that God cares about me, every detail about me. And so my understanding of God changed. Now, in John 14:9, we read this, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So if we're going to know God the Father, who should we look toward? And I think the answer is very clear, according to this passage, to Jesus Christ. Because if we've seen Jesus, then we've seen God.
Yes.
We've seen the Father. They are one and the same. Now, we have several places in the New Testament that really amplify that comment that Jesus made to Philip. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 1, and the writer of Hebrews says this, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory. So when we look to the Son, when we look to the face of Jesus, we see the glory of God the Father, the full measure of that glory. He is the exact representation of God's being. So just as Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, the writer of Hebrews is saying the exact same thing. When we look at Jesus, we're seeing the very essence and nature of God the Father. Paul echoes the same sentiment in his letter to the Colossians. In Colossians 1:15, he makes a very bold statement. Like I said, it's much like this this note from the writer of Hebrews, but in verse 15, he says this, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So how did Paul describe Jesus in Colossians 1:15? As the image of the invisible God. That word image is the Greek word eikon, which is our word icon. So something that is iconic gives the nature or essence of the thing that it represents. So Jesus gives that nature and essence of God the Father. He shows that forth to us in this world today. So who do you turn to find out the truth about God the Father? Jesus Christ the Son. You're not going to find it anywhere else. If you want to know the truth about God, if you want to know what God is really like, look to the Son. Look to Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because he is the image of the invisible God. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation. And when we look to the face of Jesus Christ, we're going to see the glory of God the Father.
Absolutely.
And that is good news.
That is wonderful news, Bob. It really, really, truly is. You know, friends, there, in addition to our radio broadcast, there are other ways to connect with the Basic Gospel program every day. You can connect online through our website, homepage, that's, of course, basicgospel.net. Just watch for the red live feed link. That'll appear just before 3 p.m. every day. At the same spot on our homepage, you'll see links to both YouTube and Facebook for the live video streams. We hope you'll check one of those, your choice. And also, you can hear the daily broadcast with the Basic Gospel app. Of course, any way that you connect is a great way, and we hope that you're listening and that you'll call with any question or concern you might have. The number The always open number, 844-322-2742. It's available to you, our Basic Gospel listeners. We want you to exercise it to the fullest. 844-322-2742. But right now, it's the study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and back to Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Now, you know, there are several passages in the Word of God that tell us that we can see some of the attributes of God and nature, and just by observing the world that we live in, we can see that he's all-powerful. And so we can understand a little bit about God, but to understand his true essence, that's veiled to us until we look at Jesus Christ. Now, the philosophers, the Greek philosophers of the day, kind of understood that. And there is this wonderful story in Acts chapter 17, and Paul goes to Athens, and he goes to the place where the philosophers gather, and he notices there are all kinds of idols and statues there, and there are all these philosophers, and they are just going back and forth and discussing the latest ideas that they have had about life and the meaning of life and what they've observed. But it was interesting, in the middle of all that, at one end, there was an altar, and it had an inscription on it. And that inscription was this: to an unknown God. The God that exists, the God that created everything, it seems to be unknowable. And certainly he is, if we're trying to figure him out through our own intellect, through our own understanding, if we're trying to form committees to do research projects about God, we're going to miss the mark as far as our understanding. We're going to be way off. As I've said, we're going to come up with a God that looks like a Picasso painting, distorted in every imaginable way. But he has made himself known in Jesus Christ. So if someone was to come to you and ask the question, I know God exists, but I have no idea what he's like, how would you make him known to that person? Well, the Apostle Paul started talking to these philosophers about Jesus, about what Jesus came into this world to do, about the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that in Jesus we can have real hope. There is a purpose. There is a destination for all of us. And he started to make God known to them through the testimony concerning Jesus. And that's how we make God known in this world today, through the testimony concerning Jesus. And that's very important for us to understand. There's different ideas why Paul wrote the book of Colossians was because the people there were taking little nuggets out of all the different philosophies that were circulating in that town, and they were trying to piece them all together, connect the dots, and come up with one singular philosophy. So they were taking a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and they were mixing it all together, blending it all together. And what they were putting out was a very confused message, something that really didn't bring truth to the matter, the truth as to what God is really like. Mm-hmm. So Paul wrote and said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I am just going to be laser focused on Jesus Christ. And so that's what he did. And I think if we're going to make God the Father known, we too need to be laser focused so that people can learn what God is like and then desire to have a relationship with him, which is Christianity.
Another exciting study, Bob. Thank you. And friends, thank you for being with us for this study edition called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace with Bob Christopher. Want to remind you also that Bob invites you to join him Sunday mornings for Sunday Morning Live, 9:30 Central on Facebook and YouTube. And we hope you'll join him this Sunday morning. In the meantime, we wish you a wonderful weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see you on Monday. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.